It is easy at first glance to take a simple reading of this gospel and miss some of the deeper points that are going on in it. Very famous and beautiful chunk of text from Matthew chapter 11. So to get behind it a little bit today and understand how the Lord is speaking to us today in 2017, just as beautiful as he spoke once upon a time, good to get the context maybe of what's happening right around these verses and Matthew's expanding narrative that we're making our way through in this particular year of the lectionary. So right before this, Jesus has just issued some pretty harsh words of condemnation to the leadership of the towns who have rejected his message. He's worked mighty deeds of power there and wonders, and yet they are still hard of heart and do not accept his gospel. And so he explains they will be condemned. And it's the leaders, in a special way, that he is particularly upset with. They are the ones who are the hardest of hearts. Right after this, he'll do something of the same. He'll go to debate and argue with the Pharisees and the temple establishment over the right way to read the Sabbath regulations. What is the law exactly? So the context around it would tell us that what's going on in these verses goes something like this. He is talking about, when he says wise and learned ones who do not know the truth, he's talking about the leadership, the clergy of the day. Temple leaders, scholars of the law, they're the ones that he is taking on here, that statement. He says, it's not you who know the wisdom of the day. No, it is the little ones who the Father shows them to. The little ones are those who are open to his message, who realize something new must happen and something different is required now than the leaders are talking about. And then, therefore, what are the burdens, as he speaks of, you who labor and are burdened, he talks about that. Well, in the context, around in the readings, it tells us the burden is the law. That's what he's concerned about. And about interpretation of the law by the leadership, again, the clergy, in such a heavy-handed way that the people cannot possibly carry it out. So when he speaks about freeing them from the burden, it's the burden of an oppressive way to understand the Jewish law of the time. So that's what he's talking about in these passages. His yoke is the easier one. His burden is the light one because his truth is different and his approach is different. He is humble in a way that the stubborn, apparently wise leadership is not, and the little ones are all suffering for their injustice. That's what's going on here. How does one understand that now in today's context, again, many, many years later? Well, there's a right and a wrong way to read this. The wrong way, I guess, would be something like this. And this was a very popular reading of this in the 70s and 80s, and even today you still see it creeping into scholarship and commentary. Argument would go, well, back then he's condemning clerical legalism, therefore today he is condemning any kind of church authority or bureaucracy that makes things hard for the faithful. So it's the clergy he's taking on today. And the burden is the Catholic Church with all of her teachings about all these things, ethics and marriage and poverty and peace and justice and pro-life things. If we would just free ourselves from the burdens of those impossible to keep laws and get the clergy out of the way, well, in our friendship with Jesus, we would have the burden and yoke taken from us that is so hard. It's self-serving of me to say it, but I don't agree with that interpretation. And I think in the last 30 years, we've seen that that's really not what he's talking about. That's not the liberation that he brings, not from the church. No, there is something else at play. So you set that one to the side and ask, well, okay, if that isn't it, then what is he trying to say today? Who are the clergy he's perhaps condemning today? What are the burdens? What are the circumstances? And how does he bring freedom and peace and joy that we so desperately all crave? And indeed, we all do. We wouldn't be here this morning otherwise, right? So to get at what might be a right reading of this text in today's conversation and world, maybe you back your way into it by asking some important questions. First one would go kind of like this. What are our burdens exactly? If it isn't the church, what is the burden? What are the heavy loads that we're often carrying? How is life heavy for us at times? Lots of ways to answer that question. Here's one. We can all relate to it. Maybe it's the burden of infirmity. Just being sick, or being ill, or being tired. And it's interesting how, as we all age, right, we feel more and more in our bodies, things slow down, our vision gets blurrier, our hearing gets softer, our bones and joints ache, we move slower, and eventually, of course, mortality comes for us all. That is how it is in the fallen world. So if we find ourselves saying, I feel a burden, it might just simply be the burden of our bodies that can sometimes weigh us down in ways that are frustrating and uncomfortable and indeed painful. So that's a burden, legitimate one to be sure. But there are other ones. That's maybe the easy, obvious one. Other burdens in the modern world that we could identify, perhaps, that Christ wants to come and save us from. How about this? How about the burden of the calendar or the schedule? Or the burden of activity. And by the way, I fall under all these spells all the time myself, right? It's amazing how these days we're getting busier and busier and busier and cramming more and more things in and running to more and more places and families run around more and more than they ever used to. Someone's always driving somebody somewhere, someday, some of the time. We're never together a whole lot. And so the idea is that we are afraid on one level of having nothing to do. We wouldn't know how to handle free time if it landed in our lap. So we are burdened under our schedules, and we plan things out further and further and further, and we cram all these things in. That's the burden. The burden of constant running and activity is just that. It is a burden. It's related to the fear of being bored. We fear boredom in the modern world like nothing else. It's almost as if we had time to sit quietly, we'll realize how discontent we actually are. So we fill it with all these things. God forbid we be bored anywhere, at church, on whoever knows, right? Boredom is like the great sin of the day. So we fill our time and have distractions to get rid of its possibility. So the burden is always having to keep up to something else and something to do. Or how about this one, related to this? The burden of keeping up appearances and the burden of always having to have the next new thing. This is what drives us forward so much of the time, you know? Update this, fix that, new hairstyle, new skin color, new car, new this, new device, who knows? But we always have this pressure of saying, I've got to conform to my neighbors and I can't stand out. And I can't look like this or like that. I must blend into what the masses say I must give in to. So it's the pressure of the new that we're always running after. Imagine how it would go on a store shelf somewhere if the product said in big letters, old on it. No one would ever buy it, right? And in an antique shop, that's great, but a pick and save, that's a disaster. So you want new. That's what drives us. So all these things together put a lot of pressure on us. Got to keep up. Got to plan, got to schedule, got to conform, got to have the new thing, have to be the one who is on top of it all. That is a burden, in addition to the burden of our infirmities that just give out under the weight of our activity as our bodies get older and time passes. So if that's what's burdening us, next question might be, as we try and figure out what is Jesus trying to say to us, is, well, how do we often handle those burdens? What do we do with them? That's an important question. Because if he has one way, sure there might be others. I would submit that the great trap of these burdens that I described is that they also contain in themselves, in our modern world, their own promises of solutions that in the end don't really pay off as much as we think that they're going to. So out there in the world, we are sold this idea that if we just buy something, take a medication, do something, then we'll be freed from this burden. So on the bodily front, how do we free us from the burden of bodily pain? We go to the doctor, and we build an expanding medical industry infrastructure that has gotten, on so many respects, way out of control in this, our culture. It's bigger than it ever has been before in the history of the world, with billions of dollars flowing in and out of it. Or we take a lot of painkillers, and we hear on the news all the time the sad news about all the people who are addicted more and more and more to things that take away pain. We just can't handle it. So the solution to our bodily burdens is, frankly, medicating ourselves to death and becoming obsessed with health and fitness in a way that no generation has ever been up to this point. It's very unique to the world what we're living in right now, our health obsession. They sell us, do they not, the medical industry, the promise of freedom from pain, youth, the fountain of youth, whatever. We're sold the promise of having our burden lifted, but in the end, we just take more and more medication. So it's a cycle. What about the burden of schedule and activity? Well, again, the information industry sells us the idea that if you just buy enough products, we will organize your life for you, and then you're going to be happy, and you can manage all of this stuff. So people like myself fall in the trap of buying iPhones and putting things on our calendars and multiplying calendars and making more calendars. And before long, Apple tells me I have to have my calendar on my watch because my phone isn't quick enough in my pocket to see what's going on next. And on it goes. The burden of the new, well, that's easy. That's the marketing industry and the entertainment industry. Be entertained, everything tells us. Just chase after something else. Buy more of this or that. And again, it all sells us a promise it can't possibly keep, that if we just buy this thing or do this thing, it's going to make everything all fine and take away our pain and lift us from our burdens. That is the trap of the modern solution to our ancient problem of the restlessness of the heart that we all have inside of us. So that's a way to try and solve the problem of the burdens, but unfortunately, it contains in itself the seeds of its own perpetuation, and we don't really get a lot happier as time passes, alas, if we're paying attention. So to read the gospel again in light of all this that I've just laid out, it might go kind of like this. If Jesus is condemning anybody, the wise and the learned, it's probably those sectors of life who are keeping us in this cycle. Those who claim to have and sell us all the answers. The medical industry, the scientific community, social scientists, the entertainment industry. They're the new clergy, so to speak, who keep us in this cycle of a burden that we can't possibly get out from under. And not like the rotten people, that's not the point. Many are very well-intentioned people. And those things are good things, science and technology, we have a place for them. But when they become God, though, and the first thing, and an end in themselves, then everything else starts to fall apart. And that's where the problem comes in, no? So you who are wise and learned, Jesus says, you are the experts in all that you're selling, you are not really delivering a freedom from a burden. At first glance, maybe, but as time passes, no. Who are the little ones he speaks of? Those of us who realize we want out. That something has to change. There's another way to live, and there must be some other pathway. And therefore, the burden, which you've already described, can only be lifted with him. That's the pathway forward. If all the other avenues that we're exploring in our consumer-driven world aren't really lifting the burden, maybe temporarily, but not deeply, then we come back to Jesus himself who says, I am the one who can lift you from the burdens, who can free you from them and take them off of your shoulders. So how does he do that then? And that gets us down really to the heart of the entire thing, which goes kind of like this. What is exactly his yoke that is easy? What is his burden that's light? What is it? How does it free us from all these things that weigh us down? His yoke is his teaching of simplicity, the Beatitudes, a new way of life that we can take seriously. And at the core of it, his yoke is the cross. He's wearing it right now in front of us in this beautiful crucifix. That's his yoke that he has across his shoulders. And that is his burden. So the cross is the yoke that is easy and the burden that is light. Now, we look at that and go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Because in our modern notion of burden, that's painful. It's not new. It's not popular. In fact, it flies in the face of all that we usually turn to try and fix our burdens. And therein lies the genius of it. At the heart of the cross, look beyond the wood, if you will, is an attitude. It's a disposition he speaks of in the gospel. I'm meek and humble of heart. I accept my Father's will. I hand myself over for the good of others and not for my own gain. Therefore, my yoke is easy and my burden is light because I'm not worried about myself. That is the secret to having your burdens lifted. So to put it another way, at the heart of all the ways that we often reach out to try and medicate ourselves, entertain ourselves, exercise ourselves, and buy ourselves to death to take away our burdens, at the heart of that is a destructive attitude which goes like this, I want, I want. What he is saying is you have to replace I want with I surrender. I want must be replaced with I surrender. And as you do, then pretty soon you start to live with the burdens in a whole different kind of way. You're not so obsessed with health anymore. I mean, you work on health, of course, but it's not the end-all be-all. Or with new things, or with a schedule. You begin to realize that the ache of things aren't satisfied actually is okay, and you can leave it be. Because I surrender, lets you take what's handed to you with joy and with peace and with freedom. So what does he bring to us, Jesus? He brings to us a different attitude, a different approach to all the crosses of life that says, accept them, surrender to them freely, take them from my Father's hand, and in that disposition of heart, then you will find the freedom that you're really seeking and the joy that you can only have in friendship with me. And not only does he offer it as a teaching, he offers it as an example. He did it himself and says, you can all follow after this too. As I did, you also can and must do. That's how that is an easy and light yoke and burden, because that's the picture of a man who is blessed, who is joyful, and is doing his Father's will, because he's humble and meek of heart, as we all must be as well. So that's the secret. This gospel that appears at first glance so simple is actually really complicated and yet also amazingly simple when you get right down to it. The freedom from our burdens isn't found out there in all the things the world tries to sell us. No, the freedom is in a disposition of the heart that says, I surrender, not I want. And that comes to us from friendship with the cross and resurrection made possible in our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, therefore, we have freedom from our burdens. We have joy, we have peace. With the light of the gospel, it shows us a new and different way to walk. So as we say it, I surrender, then we have peace and we are truly, truly free of all of our burdens.